Chapter 2. A Meeting in the Rain. Slatebeard, the oldest dragon in the valley, had seen more than his memory could hold. His scales no longer glowed, but he could still breathe fire. And whenever the younger dragons were at a loss, they would come to ask his advice. Once all the other dragons had assembled outside Slatebeard's cave, Firedrake woke him. The sun had set. A black and starless sky lay over the valley, and it was still raining. When the old dragon emerged from his cave, he looked gloomily up at the sky. His bones ached from the damp, and the cold weather made his joints stiff. The others respectfully made way for him. Slatebeard looked around. None of the dragons were missing, but Sorrel was the only brownie present. The old dragon moved through the wet grass, with heavy steps and dragging tail, toward a rock that rose in the valley like a giant's head covered with moss. Breathing hard, he climbed up on it and looked around. The other dragons gazed up at him like frightened children. Some of them were still very young and knew nothing but this valley. Others had come with Slatebeard himself from far, far away and remembered that the world had not always belonged to humankind. They all smelled misfortune, and they hoped he would deal with it. But Slatebeard was old and tired now.
"Come up here, rat," he said in a hoarse voice. "Tell us what you saw and heard."
The rat scampered nimbly up the rock, climbed Slatebeard's tail, and crouched on his back. It was so quiet under the dark sky that only the sound of the rain falling and the rustle of foxes out hunting by night could be heard. Rat cleared her throat.
"Humans are coming," she cried. "They've woken their machines and fed them and sent them on their way. They're already eating a path through the mountains only 2 days' journey from here. The fairies will hold them at bay for a while, but they'll get here sometime or other, because it's this valley of yours they're heading toward."
A groan ran through the ranks of the dragons. They raised their heads and pressed closer around the rock where Slatebeard stood. Firedrake was a little way away from the others, with Sorrel perched on his back, nibbling a dried mushroom.
"Oh, terrific rat," she muttered. "Couldn't you have put it a little more tactfully?"
"What does that mean?" one of the dragons called out. "Why would they want to come here? Surely they have all they want where they are."
"Humans never have all they want," replied Rat.
"Let's hide until they go away again," suggested another dragon. "The way we've always done when one of them loses his way and turns up here. They're so blind, they only see what they expect to see. They think we're odd-looking rocks, same as usual, or dead trees."
But the rat shook her head.
"Look here," she shrilled. "If I've told you once, I've told you 100 times, those humans are making plans. But big animals don't listen to little animals, right?"
She looked around her crossly.
"You hide from human beings, but you aren't interested in what they're up to. Rats aren't so stupid. We go into their houses. We eavesdrop on them. We know what they're planning for your valley."
Rat cleared her throat again and stroked her gray whiskers.
"Here she goes again, winding up the suspense,"
Sorrel whispered into Firedrake's ear, but the dragon ignored her.
"What are they planning then, Rat?" asked Slatebeard wearily. "Come on, tell us."
Rat fiddled nervously with a whisker. It was no fun bringing bad news.
They're going to flood the valley," she replied, her voice faltering. "Soon, there'll be nothing here but water. Your caves will be flooded, and none of the tall trees over there," she said, pointing one paw at the darkness. "And none of them will be left. Not even the tree tops will show above the water."
The dragon stared at her, speechless.
"But that's impossible," one of them exclaimed at last. "No one can do a thing like that. Not even us, and we're bigger and stronger than they are."
"Impossible," Rat laughed sarcastically. "Bigger, stronger. You don't get it at all. You tell them, Sorrel. Tell them what human beings are like. Maybe they'll believe you."
With an injured expression, she wrinkled her sharp nose. The dragons turned to Fire Drake and Sorrel.
That's right, said the brownie. You've no idea. She spat on the ground and picked a piece of moss stuck between her teeth. Human beings don't go around in suits of armor these days like they used to when they hunted you dragons. But they're still dangerous. More dangerous than anything else in the world.
Oh, nonsense, said a large, stout dragon scornfully and turned his back on Sora.
Let the two legs come. Rats and brownies may be right to fear them, but we are dragons. What can they do to us?
What can they do to you?
Sora threw her nibbled mushroom away and sat up very straight. She was angry now, and an angry brownie is not to be trifled with.
You've never set foot outside this valley, dimwit, she said. I expect you think human beings sleep on leaves like you. I expect you think that they'll do no more harm than a fly because they don't live much longer than one. I expect you think they got nothing in their heads but thoughts of eating and sleeping, but they aren't like that. Oh no, not these days.
Sora was practically gasping for air.
Those things that sometimes fly across the sky? Being so stupid you call them noisy birds? Those things are machines built by humans for traveling through the air. And human beings can talk to one another when they aren't even in the same country. They can conjure up moving, talking pictures. They have cups made of ice that never melts. Their houses shine at night as if they've trapped the sunlight and Sorrel shook her head. And they can do wonderful things, terrible things too. If they want to flood this valley with water, then they will. You'll have to leave it whether you like it or not.